The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear, we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Second hour, National Intel Report. Steve Elkin sitting in for John Stadmiller while he's out trying to catch a big whopper fish there. Before we go back to the phones, hey, I skipped over something I didn't mean to do, but I did. I'm not sure. I went on a little rant on something else before I talked about my my experiences, nightmares, I guess, those three nightmares I talked about earlier. But talking about how these kids, these millennials, these kids are not in shape. They're not physically in shape. I don't even think they're mentally in shape. They can't handle anything. That's why they're on medication, because he looked at me wrong and he doesn't like me. Got to be on medication. Yeah, they're really, really fragile, little fragile children. And we're going to think about putting them in a military uniform. That's not going to work. But what the military would be looking for are those joystick warriors, those kids that have no empathy and they can kill. And sit in a little air-conditioned shack there, a little air-conditioned mobile home with their little joystick watching a drone and then pretty much turn people into confetti, as John would say. That's exactly what they'll be looking for, because many of these kids cannot be put in a uniform. I don't even think they make that waist size for a military. So we're going to go back to the phones here. Chris in Las Vegas, you're on. Chris, are you there? Chris in Las Vegas. Last call. Maybe he's on hold. Dave in Nevada, you're on.
Hey, how you doing? I just wanted to comment a little bit on...
Is this Chris or Dave?
This is Dave.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I think there's kind of a general cultural malaise in general, and I don't think it just applies to I think you were talking about people in general being out of shape, not just the millennials.
Overall, I'm in the health field and I look around and I see a lot of people. Americans are fat. They're fat. They're, if you look at other countries, I think we're exporting some of it. I think China's starting to get fat now because they're getting McDonald's and they're getting all this fast food. They have Burger King and they have KFC. Wherever we're exporting any of these fast food restaurants, you're going to start seeing obesity to be a problem. But America it's obese. It is obese. And big part of their health problem is their weight problem. You know, you got insulin resistance, you got diabetes, you got all kinds of problems, structural problems, knees, everything going bad because you're carrying too much weight and your joints can only take so much. So, you know, a lot of our problems, if we actually had a healthier, fit society, I remember the presidential physical fitness test that you had to do in high school back when I was a kid in junior high. And it was an honor to win the patch if you won the patch, you know. But I don't know what's going on today. You know, they're getting rid of all these programs. They're getting rid of PE and they're getting rid of sporting programs and they're getting rid of a lot of things. I mean, America is not a healthy America. I mean, just look at the drug companies. Watch TV and how many different drugs now. They're just making more drugs for symptoms, not cures, for symptoms. And symptoms, there's a lot of money to be made in the drug market. So, yeah, we're not healthy. We are not healthy.
I just remember when I'm in my 40s right now, but I remember when I was a kid, like growing up in high school and junior high school, I remember that athletics was a big part of my life, and it was a big part of, like, my friends' lives. We all kind of, we weren't, like, varsity lettermen or anything like that, but we were all very active. We played a lot of different sports, like, almost every day. And I remember that being very much a big part of my life. We just, it was kind of like, you know, playing basketball was kind of a daily activity, or volleyball. That's not, I don't think that's there anymore. But another thing that I wanted to comment, you were talking about false reporting.
Yes.
And going to court. Something like that happened to me at a brewery. A group of people were harassing me. And I was just sitting by myself, so I just kind of stood up to them. I just kind of, like, stood up, and I just said a few words, like, hey, what's up? The next thing I know, one of the employees calls the cops on me. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm asking you to leave. I didn't even talk to this guy the whole night, the employee there. He came up to me, and he said, you're a threat. He said, you're a threat. I'm calling the cops on you. And I went to jail that night.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
What was the charge?
There was no charge.
But I had to be a charge. That's it.
Well, okay. They initially gave me a charge, but they brought it down to, they dismissed it, and they just sent me home the next day. It was a detox.
Okay. Okay. Did you have this expunged from your record?
It's not on my record. I didn't even have to go to court for it.
Okay, because I'd make sure anyway that it doesn't on your, it's not on your record at all. Make sure it's expunged, not on your record at all. You should probably check on that just to make sure. I would.
Yeah. I'll probably double check, but
I would.
So I felt like taking action, but I don't know exactly what to do other than forget about it. I don't know how the situation works where someone places a false report on someone. And you land up in jail for that, or you have to go to court for that. I just don't understand this whole notion of when someone just makes a call and they accuse someone of something.
Right.
It's almost like an automatic thing that they assume that what the accuser is saying is true.
Right.
So you're the one that gets into trouble. I don't understand that.
I don't either. And I know when women call, they seem to take a woman's side right off the bat. And to say that the man must have done something wrong. And, you know, it is, like I said, we have a bullseye on our head. I'm just going to say that men listening to this show, you got to be careful. You got to have people with you. You got to have witnesses. And, you know, we're living in the tech age right now, too. There's no reason why you can't pull the phone out and hit that little button to record a conversation and covers your ass on all this stuff. Or videotape,
yeah,
if you want to video it, you could do that also. I didn't have that option at the time. We didn't have that technology. But, yeah, this woman made some problems for me, and it really was a nightmare. The first one was bad enough. Then the other two, you know, like I said, I think you have to have witnesses around you all the time, and you have to have chaperone almost. And this is out of control. I think it's time. I really do think it's time for those men who have been accused – for, you know, the accusations and allegations, which is the new proof to the Me Too's it is, I think we need to lash back. We need to push back really hard. We need to actually file defamation of character lawsuits. And we need to stop this nonsense of accusing people and trying to ruin their lives, because that's actually what's happening. Now, for the real victims there are out there, there are women who are victims to sexual predators. What happens if you have all these phony cases? It undermines the true case of people who are actually our victims, and it does them a disservice. All these women who say, well, I'm a victim too. We're all victims. Yeah. It does them a disservice. It really does. And I would hope to see those people, the real victims, say, these women, you are not all victims, and you're using the agenda to benefit in some other way. And in this case with Brett Kavanaugh is to bring the man down. So he is not the Supreme Court nominee for Donald Trump. He doesn't get in. It's scary. It's scary out there. Like I said, nowadays with the technology, I would say, Dave, pull that phone out, and it lets people know you're being monitored. You're being watched. I'm recording, baby. And now I've got the proof against you. That's what I would do in the future. That's what I would do.
Oh, yeah. I'm very aware of that. I'm always – nowadays it's weird. I'm kind of like camera and recording ready on my phone. Just like I'm always like kind of, it's almost like a gun to me. It's just like, okay, I'm going to be ready to record something at any time in any given day now.
Yeah. Well, Dave, what I'll tell you what I've done is even when pulled over by a police officer, I'll reach over to my phone and I'll hit record. And he won't know, but I'm going to have it nearby and I'm going to record the conversation in case something bad happens out of this. And they say I did this or this. I have witness. I have a recording of the conversation. Unfortunately, we have to do that because how many times have we seen that a police officer's body camera, for some reason, it wasn't working that day or the batteries were dead? I want proof. Unfortunately, I hate to do that, but I'm not really trusting right now of law enforcement because I've seen so many violations, so many things gone wrong. And I'm gonna protect myself. So hit that record button on your phone and record a conversation. They won't know it. And don't let them know you have it because they could probably try to confiscate it and then erase it. Just keep it, record it, and if anything ever comes out of it, you go to court, you show the recording, you play the recording, and now you have the evidence against the officer that he was trying to rig it, you know, rig something on you. So that's what I would do, is use the technology to benefit you, and that's what I would do in the future.
Yeah, I remember one time I had a police officer actually reach into my vehicle and actually snatch my phone from my hand.
Oh, illegal. Fourth Amendment violation right there. Fourth Amendment violation. Illegal search and seizure.
Yep. Yeah. But anyways, we've all had something similar to that happen to us in one way or another.
Well, I'm glad you got through that, and I'm glad it didn't mess with your head too much. It kind of messed with my head for a little while because here I'm trying to go to school, and I'm, you know, get out of school and graduate, and last thing you want is something on your record. First of all, it's not true, but then to be painted as an abusive person, and, well, I don't want to hire this guy. He could beat up patients or something, you know. It all worked out for me, and thank God it did, because she actually shot herself in the foot. I had the evidence, but she made my case even stronger by mouthing off to the judge, which worked out for me. So, hey, I appreciate your call, Dave. Thank you.
No problem. Thanks.
Roxanne in Texas, you're on.
Hi.
Hi, Roxanne.
Growing up, we were allowed to go out if it was light till dark. I was on the football team, and we were city champions. I ran a marathon in 1984. So we were talking about getting healthy or whatever, or living a better lifestyle. You were a swimmer. I was a swimmer, too. I did a triathlon, whatever. But you know I'm radiology, but what I noticed over the years are X-ray, CT, and MRI machines and tables had to start accommodating 300-pound people.
Yeah, I know.
This was unheard of. Unheard of. But that's what we had. Well, and I'll just do one scenario with you. I have four others. I was kidnapped when I was 12, and I was taken 12 miles from my home. It was an older man. I was 12 years old. He was a 30-year-old. I remember the smell. I remember the fabric in his apartment, of furniture. I remember everything. And for this gal to not remember this Kavanaugh thing, and I talked my way out of it. You know, I didn't even know. I was 12 years old, and I told the guy that I had a gallbladder condition, and I didn't even know where I came up with this, but I had to have surgery in the next day. He drove me back 12 miles. I can't imagine a 12-year-old child being kidnapped today and not being thrown in the river or eaten, or I don't know what they do.
Yeah.
It's horrific.
I know.
But I got myself out of it at 12 years old. And then my sister's boyfriend, I had five restraining orders on people, you know, and it's all over the board. Yeah. But this gal with this Kavanaugh guy, she admitted to her girlfriend that between 11th grade and high school, she slept with 64 guys, and she was a low-morale person that was an alcoholic. So for this thing to come out right now. Remember that, who was it, the other judge that was coming out with the Coke can?
Oh, yeah, you're talking about Clarence Thomas.
Thomas, yeah. It's the same story. It's, we don't get forward ever, you know, with them. But anyway, the whole point being is, you know, it, like you mentioned, people that were really in harm's way, we don't get hurt.
No.
You didn't get hurt. Well, you kind of did, but I didn't even know where to go. I never told my father until his death that I was kidnapped. I was missing for like an hour and a half. But I can't imagine a 12-year-old child getting out of that these days, because, as you say, they're unfit physically, mentally. But I was fit mentally, and I said to him, I have a gallbladder operation I have to do tomorrow, and I'll let you get on to your other business. Thank you, Steve.
Hey, I appreciate that, Roxanne. You know, I was thinking about your CT scanner, 300 pounds. I think we broke the rules on that. I think we stuck a guy in there 350 or 380 and got him in there. And we actually got some imaging done on him. And yeah, right. These people are getting bigger and bigger. They're actually going to have to make the CT scanners bigger and the MRI bigger. And they're getting bigger. I don't know what else.
Well, you're not getting the proper diagnosis.
Well, I'll tell you what.
You're using that technology.
Here's an interesting situation. When I was working in Eureka, on a contract in Eureka, California once, I got called to go down to the ER. They went up on the ICU. We said, we need some big, strong guys. And I worked out. So, Steve, would you go? Would you go? Would you go? I said, sure. What's going on? We need you down the ER right now. Right now. I said, okay. So I get down the ER. There's a bunch of firemen down there. And I said, what's going on? Well, we need you to help move this patient. And I said, what patient? I looked over there. There was this morbidly obese woman, and she said she weighed 850. She had this small little head, and there was this massive body on a army tarp, and they had to move her to a gurney. And I just couldn't believe it. I looked over, and there's this little bitty small head and this massively huge body that this person could not walk, and we had to move her to a gurney. We had like eight guys, and we were all just – one, two, three, got her moved. And I could never forget this woman of how do you get this big? And how many years did it take you to get this big? We saved her this time. She had respiratory issues, of course, you know, infection, a pneumonia or something. She had been a frequent flyer coming in all the time. And this was a major headache for the fire department because they had to be the one to transport her. And all the firemen had to come do all this. She ended up dying. Later on my tour there, I did a 13 weeks. She finally died, but they are getting bigger and bigger. I had never, you know, that's not uncommon to see an 800-pound man in the 25 years.
Yeah.
I've seen in 25 years of medicine, I think I've seen at least 8 to 10 in that range or a little bit bigger. That's huge.
Well, let me tell you this real quick, and I'll let you get back. But
sure.
When we had the 750-pound gal, back in the 80s, the gurneys, the EMTs, you know, they were but the wheels were bent sideways, and it took 20 people because nobody wanted to be the one to be hurt, their back or whatnot.
Exactly.
But my X-ray machine exploded. It's not. It wasn't digital at the time. You can do everything digital now, but this is a cathode anode ray tube.
Right.
My machine exploded. I had to call the physicists and all these people. The machine just shut down, so it's preposterous, and I wish you well, and good night.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Roxanne. Yeah, that's they're getting bigger and bigger. 1,000-pound man, 800-pound people. It's amazing. Amazing. And you know what's interesting is that I got called a lot on those. Please, Steve, would you come down and help us move this patient? And I was always at risk for injury. And I actually got hurt on an 800-pound man in another one in Eureka, California, and I actually had to go see a chiropractor, and I had some neck issues. And they don't dare ask a female to come down there and move these big people. The men all have to do it. And I don't, believe me, there's no hazard pay when you do that. And you get hurt, you get hurt. And then they give you that look like, well, you're hurt, you can't come to work. Well, you made me lift an 800-pound man. I mean, it's not a good deal to be in. Sometimes it's not being, not good to be a male in nursing, because you end up getting used for the brunt strength you have and everything. So go back to the phones here. We have Al in West Virginia. You're on.
Hey, bud. I think the guy in front of a couple calls ago, or one call ago before her, with CPS the way they are now, I have 8 grandchildren. And I will not allow any of them to be with me if there's not other adults around, period, because of this simple fact. And most of them are females, and most of them, just because of the fact, because I hear so many stories about things that goes on and where people are wrongfully accused, you know what I mean? Do you understand what I'm saying?
I totally do. You could be having your own Shawshank redemption, but no redemption. Yeah, it's kind of scary to think that somebody with an allegation would be held as evidence, a proof, and you could be going to jail for it. You could lose your career. It affects your livelihood, your family. This is pretty serious stuff. That's why I'm saying we need to go back to the defamation of character lawsuits to stop all this nonsense of just painting a brush, accusing somebody, allegations. That is not proof. In a court of law, you need a little thing called evidence. And I'm getting a little tired of it. Like I said, I was a college student. I fought the good fight. I got out of this stuff, and I didn't do anything wrong. I simply defended myself. I made my case. But what we're seeing now is a domino effect of, you just got to say it. All you have to do is say it, and for some reason it becomes a truth, especially when it comes from a female. Now, I tell you what, if I had told somebody, and I told my boss what had happened with that one in Utah with the sexual advance there that I wasn't interested in, you know how many times people would laugh at you if you actually told people this story? They'd say, oh, come on, you know, guys don't get sexually harassed. There's no way. And I wasn't going to make an issue out of it. I only made an issue out of it after she tried to destroy my career and get me fired from the hospital. Then I had to set the record straight. Other than that, I would have let it gone. It would have gone out the door and said, you know what? I wasn't interested. Move on. But when somebody tries to destroy your livelihood, then you got to push back hard. And I wasn't going to sue the woman, but I was going to set the record straight. And I did. And I won that case too. So it's a bad thing. You know, like I said, we're all walking around, these men, we're all walking around with a little bit of a bullseye on our head. We have to be really careful nowadays in everything
exactly
we do. So just, I guess, keep your eyes open, watch what you say, do your jobs. But that doesn't assure you still that somebody's not going to say you did something wrong. You looked at her and you looked at her chest, and you didn't say anything, but you looked at her chest, and therefore that's sexually inappropriate. And this is getting a little carried away here. We need to push back real hard with the defamation of character lawsuits and stop this nonsense. So hey,
right,
thanks for your call, but
right,
I need to push.
Right.
I need to push on here. Yeah, quick.
Well, what I was going to say is everything seems to change. It goes from a women's lib, then it goes to a man's lib, then it goes to a women's lib. If you look over the period of years, that's the way it always happens.
Yeah.
They switch back and forth to get everybody, separated.
Yeah.
Keep everybody separated.
That's exactly what they're doing. They're dividing the men and women. Yeah, exactly. Hey, thanks for your call. I appreciate it. I really do. Got to move on here. Daniel in British Columbia, you're on.
Oh, hi there, Steve. I hope I don't hit your break. I've got a couple points I want to make, and I don't want to get cut off. But
you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tell Mike, hold my break then, please.
Okay. So I'm not going to take up your time. One of the first Off the Beaten Path episodes, you talked about morality almost the whole show, and I was quite impressed with your grasp of the whole big picture of where America's heading. Canada, you know, Europe, Western world. And there's a couple of things in the news lately that I thought I'd share with your listeners that kind of relate to morality. The Sesame Street for children. We just found out. Ernie and Bert are gay.
Yeah, now, they're lovers. They're lovers. Yeah.
Strom Thurmond, you remember Strom Thurmond? He suspected this years ago, and everyone said, oh, you're crazy, you're a homophobe, and all this stuff. So it turns out the creator of Ernie and Bert, which wasn't Jim Henson, by the way, it was the separate writer, and so he happens to be of the Jewish faith. He comes out with gay characters in the 1970s for our children. And now they weren't sleeping in the same bed. But nevertheless, this is how they do this cultural Marxism thing, where they just shake up the order, get rid of our Christian values, our morality.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So the Children's Television Workshop in the 1990s was independent, and then it was bought by a Jewish firm. Mm-hmm. So I just thought I'd add that. A Jew in the last week just bought Time Magazine. So they're the ones that... ones that bought Zapruder films and published the frames of the Zapruder film out of sequence, you know. So they're keeping us with fake news even back then.
Sure.
So going back to the television and children, this Israeli spy movie producer, Arnon Milchan, who was caught with nuclear triggers back in the 80s, and he was... working with Benjamin Netanyahu at Milco. They were probably running. They got caught with the triggers, but we know they probably had a lot more nuclear material transferred from America to South Africa and Israel. This guy produces movies like Pretty Woman, where a prostitute falls for her John. So, you know, this is a great thing for our children and young girls to watch. Oh, if you become a prostitute, you might meet a rich Richard Gere character, and your life will be like a fairy princess.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that, because do you remember when Stormy Daniels started telling her little story about her affair with Donald Trump, and she wanted to get out of the contract that she had with Donald Trump, and she wanted to spill the beans and give us all the details, which now there's a book out there, unfortunately, which she broke the contract. So actually she could get sued for this, but that's too bad that Donald Trump actually fell into that trap, and he should have just been more of a faithful husband, which wouldn't be in this problem. But the whole book deal and everything, I'm not sure I was going with that. Hold on. Let me think there. But now forget that. Never mind. I'm getting old. I forgot what I was going to bring on to that. But Stormy Daniels, you know, it's just – it's nuts. It's nuts. And we shouldn't even give her any paying attention to the woman at all. She has no morals. As a matter of fact, her husband just ditched her. He just filed for divorce because she was cheating on him in every way. Oh, I remember now that there were some women – wasn't The View. It was one of these other female shows where they were talking to her, and after they interviewed her, they kind of in so many words said they admired Stormy Daniels for the work that she did in pornography, doing the movies. It's almost like they wanted to say, gosh, I always wanted to do a pornographic movie. I mean, this is how ridiculous these women are, that they would actually paint the brush this woman to be, you know, a saint and a good mother and a good person. The woman does porn. She sells her body. She gets a paycheck. She really is on the same level as a whore, a prostitute. But for some reason, the Me Toos can't see that. They see a different picture when they looked at Stormy Daniels, and they tried to paint her as a good person, and we should all trust her, and she wouldn't lie. Well, she lies all the time when she does movies. She fakes orgasms, for God's sakes. So don't tell me the woman is telling me the truth now. She's a dirtbag, and we should just treat her that way. She is. And no, don't buy her book. Don't waste your time. Actually, it'll end up in the dollar store for a dollar, right next to Hillary's book, because I went to the dollar store a while back, and I found Hillary's book at the dollar store right there, the Dollar Tree. I looked at it, I'm like, God, it's Hillary, a dollar book. And we were told that this was a big blockbuster seller, the book from Hillary Clinton. So it ended up in the dollar store, and Stormy Daniels' book will be there also. but I wouldn't even pay a dollar for it. I wouldn't even crack it open to look at it. The woman's a dirt bag. She's a sleaze, and I'm not going to pay any attention to her. Hopefully she'll just go away. But Donald Trump actually has a lawsuit now because she broke her confidentiality agreement that she signed on for. And actually, when I looked at that $125,000 check she got to keep her mouth shut, it was squashing a story that was not very looking good on his personality and who he was. It wasn't a crime what he did. He was trying to hush up a story. But on the other hand, you might say that somebody who's requesting $125,000 to keep her mouth shut, that might be called extortion. You know? So the woman is an opportunist, and she's probably an extortionist. So I don't know why they didn't look at it that way, but that's how I saw that picture right there.
The morality, right?
Yeah.
I'll just finish real quick. I'll finish real quick with this Arnon Milchan guy, who also produced some Oscar-winning movies like The Revenant. There's a few more, like Fight Club. He's quite famous, actually. And the first movie he ever made was an airliner slamming into a building. And it didn't make any money. In fact, it lost money, but, you know, they had to produce that. I think he's backed by Israeli money. Yeah. Anyways, so this guy with all these morality, making Pretty Woman and so forth, he's coming out with a television education program for 0 to 3 year old children called Baby First. So isn't that nice? They're going to be teaching our little children, like, that not even old enough to walk, and you want to sit them in front of a television screen?
Yeah.
This is,
well,
Daniel, this is what I'm talking about.
Well, see, Daniel, that's where, you see, they're starting with the young, fresh minds to mold like clay. They know they can't change your mind. They can't change my mind. They can't make us conform to their agenda. They know they can't do that. So where do they start? They start with the young minds, and not only the sexual stuff like that, teaching that stuff and experimenting with your sexuality and challenging your sexuality. They start with the young children, and they also use the global warming situation here. They have that movie called Ice Age. So they try for their very young minds because they know the future is the young child. And so start early, even change the history, our history, changing our history for us. So the kids will grow up thinking that this is the way it's supposed to be. They can't change you. They can't change me, but they can change the minds of the young children. And that is what they're looking for in the future, Daniel. They want these children to be conformed to their way of thinking.
Exactly. That's why they have the little children's books with, you have, my friend's got two daddies and no mommy and stuff.
Exactly.
And they've been doing that. There's a researcher, David Icke, I'm sure a lot of your listeners know who he is, but he said he was watching a lot of these television cartoons. And it's always the superhero that has the implant, you know, this kind of mentality. And that's, you're right. They get at the children because we're too smart already over here. Like, we're preaching to the choir.
Yep.
But the little kids right now, they're going to be learning this New World Order stuff. They're going to learn to accept it. We have to fight it. That's what RBN's all about. You know, you're not going to get any truth from Alex Jones. He's not going to tell you about, you know, I like to name the names, like, I have nothing against Jews personally, but I think there is this mentality and this, the way they're brought up to think about the rest of humanity is, you know, we're their slaves. That's a lot of them think that way. A lot of them don't think that way, but, you know, we're heading into this, this new world order, and a lot of them are behind it. And the dangerous ones are the ones with the $1 billion in their bank account. So I'll leave you with that.
Appreciate it, Daniel. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you're right. You're right on the money on that. You know, I never generalize. I never generalize people, races, to say because there are some bad apples that they're all bad apples. And I'm sure there are some very fine Jewish people that are not agreeing with what's going on in Israel. They're not agreeing with any of this, how the Palestinians are being treated. And but I think I don't think they're a minority. I think there's more than we think. Unfortunately, they are held to silence or their lives will probably be hell. And that's pretty sad. That's pretty sad because the Palestinians, the way I see it is, they have their own Holocaust going on right now at the hands of the Israelis. And I feel very, very sad for the Palestinian people. I hurt for them. And it's difficult to see what they're going through. I can't imagine it. They're fighting with stones and whatever they have in their possession to hang on with what little remaining land they actually have left. If you go back to the map of 1945, they have very little left. And I theorize probably in the next 5 years, maybe a little longer, if it continues on this pathway with Israel grabbing more land, they will not have anything to call home any longer. It's very sad. They're pretty much a tent people right now anyway, living in tents and kind of like those homeless videos we had on RBN in Southern California, Northern California. Kind of like that. It's pretty sad to have a land and you lose your homeland. Trump has made some huge mistakes. Giving the Jerusalem to Israel was a huge, huge mistake. It was a shared city. A huge mistake. We're going in the wrong direction. $36 more billion. That's supposedly it's going to be making its way to Israel. What, 37, 38 last time? That was at least 9 months ago. Talk about meddling. Israelis are the biggest meddlers in U.S. elections. Ever notice that every presidential candidate must fly and go to Israel and meet with their leaders? Must get their approval. So tell me about meddling in U.S. elections or anybody else meddling in our elections. They meddle all the time. And we meddle too. The United States is the biggest meddler in world affairs and elections. It's part of their nation-building program. So let's go the last remaining 22 minutes. Let's talk a little bit more about this Brett Kavanaugh thing. The last Sovereign Man's on here. Let me just mention this real quick before we bring him on. Brett Kavanaugh, Supreme Court Justice nominee, Donald Trump's nominee, looking pretty good there for a while until the last couple of days. Of course, this woman has just appeared named Christina Ford. I'm going to have to check in what Roxanne said about her promiscuity, getting around. I'll have to check in on that. 64 lovers, huh? I don't know what we call that. We used to call that a sleaze bag. We used to call that in high school? A slut, I think. I think that's what we called that. Somebody did that much. But the point being is that she's going back 35, 36 years saying that these things happen. And this is a last-ditch effort from the Democrats to derail Brett Kavanaugh, no doubt about it, or they would have brought it up much sooner. She's supposed to speak before the Senate next Monday, and so is Brett Kavanaugh. Maybe it's a back-and-forth questioning. I don't know. I don't think she's going to actually speak. It turns out she's got so many holes in her story now, and one of the holes is that she doesn't even remember the party. She doesn't remember anybody at the party, but remembers the attacker who pinned her on the bed while she was wearing a bikini swimsuit and tried to have his way with her, remove her clothes. She doesn't remember the party, doesn't remember anybody at the party, and can't name anybody, doesn't remember being there, but remembers the person who supposedly attacked her, and that she feared for her life. That sounds like a police officer thing. I feared for my life. I thought he was going to kill me. She must be watching all these police stories or reading all the headlines in the newspaper there, because that's pretty much what police say nowadays. I feared for my life. I thought he might kill me. Interesting. Holes all through her story. The woman has no credibility. And again, we're talking about accusations and allegations. This is not proof. In our legal system, we need a little thing called proof. You got to have it. You go nowhere without it. You have to have proof. And I said, whether Brett Kavanaugh gets in to become a Supreme Court justice or not, he actually should file his paperwork right now with an attorney to file charges against her for defamation of character, because she can't prove anything. And when you can't prove anything, you really have no case. I don't believe it actually happened. I really don't. I think they beat the bushes to find this woman. They beat the bushes. They probably went through a yearbook and talked to a lot of people in her town. And I don't know how they found her. It'd be interesting. I'd like to know if she's being paid. And who's paying her? Is this a George Soros payment type situation here? I found her. Now we're going to use her and parade her out there. And all we got to do is actually paint the image that he might have done this. And I saw Chuck Schumer, which is one despicable person, basically saying that accusations and allegations from this woman is proof, and we cannot have this man as a Supreme Court justice. Chuck Schumer, you're a loser. You're a nothing. You're a slubberdegullion. I love that word, slubberdegullion. Look it up sometime, and you'll see a picture of Chuck Schumer and a couple others. We're going to go back to the phones here. Sovereign Man, you're on.
Hey, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, sounds bright. You on a speakerphone?
I am.
Okay, can you go off? Can you go off a speakerphone?
Yep. Yeah, please. Yeah, I can. I hate holding it up to my head. Hold on.
All right, thanks.
Just put your headset on. Hold on. Stupid thing. Oh, God. And now it decides it's going to do something else. Hang on. Okay, there we go.
Okay.
Is this better?
That's much better. Much better. What's on your mind?
Okay, great.
Have you ever heard of NKUSA.org?
NK? No, I have not.
Yeah, NKUSA.org.
Okay.
It's Orthodox Jews United Against Zionism.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
I'll have to look that up.
Yeah.
Interesting. What does it say?
Well, I'm just saying, you know, it's not all of them, mm-hmm. you know. Matter of fact, there's probably more Christian Zionists than there are Jewish Zionists.
Hmm. Interesting. Interesting. You know? Interesting. Yeah.
And nobody ever mentions that.
No. No, they don't. They don't.
Yeah.
Anything else on your mind, you Cyberman? Know. Anything else?
No, I'm just saying, who died and made all these black-coated priests of Saturn supreme?
No idea.
Yeah, that's where the rope comes from.
No idea. No idea.
We got white-coated priest of Baal, and we got black-coated priest, black-robed priest of Saturn. Mm-hmm. But blessings to you, and I'm looking forward to listening in on your show one. When is
Sunday.
It?
Yeah, Sunday.
Sunday, that's it. Bless me.
That's it. Hey, thanks, man. Appreciate it. Yeah, I'm not a, you know, ever since I saw the movie, I knew it was going on in the 70s and 80s, but the big story about the priests in Boston, the Boston Globe broke that big story there, Michael Keaton in the movie. I think ever since I saw that, I asked myself, why aren't the Me Toos and these women – women's libbers and these women that are just so focused on sexual inappropriateness, how come they're not going after the priests and the children that have been violated? You don't see these people going after them at all. I don't know why. Is there so much money in the Catholic Church that people don't want to take them on? Because they are the wealthiest church on the planet, no doubt about it. Definitely with land holdings, they are the wealthiest church in the world. And when I watched that movie, Spotlight, and I knew it was going on. I knew it. And I'd had some neighbors and that told me they left the church because their daughter or their son had been approached. I knew this was something that was going on. I didn't know it was as prevalent as it was in the movie Spotlight and how many cases actually came to light. But this really is a stain, and I don't know. Personally speaking, if I belonged to a church and I found out the higher ups had hid all these crimes against children, I would leave that church. But I also would be pressing for prosecution, incarceration, and definitely payment to these victims. Now, these are true victims. A child being molested and taken advantage of. These are true victims, and we don't hear that. We don't hear anybody going after them. A little bit, brush once in a while. I've been in the paper, and the Pope says, I'm looking into this and that. But for the most part, this is something that's it's either being covered up by the higher-ups of the church that they have power on the mainstream media, or the mainstream media is just saying we don't want to touch it. I don't know. Are they holding hands on this whole issue? Are they too focused on people like Brett Kavanaugh and other people that they have to bring down and that they're just going to let this slide by and we shouldn't even pay attention to it. I think we should pay attention to this. I love kids. And last thing I want to see is a child being abused like this. I wouldn't let this die. I would never let this go. And I asked, why these people, these Me Toos, why aren't they going after the priests? Why aren't they? I don't know. I haven't really met any Me Toos, but it's just the movement itself I have a problem with, because, like I said, the legitimate cases of the Me Toos, the legitimate case, I don't even want to use the word Me Too, the legitimate cases of sexual rape or inappropriateness really get brushed aside because of all the fraud, the lies of the other ones that really have no bearing, and they have no evidence of it. It's just word say, hearsay. But I don't know. I'm not sure how this is all going to turn out for Brett Kavanaugh. I have no idea. The vote has been put off for a little while now. I'm not sure if this is what's going to stick, if it's going to stick or it's not going to stick. Either way, he needs to file a lawsuit, defamation of character, against Christina Ford to set the record straight. This has to stop. If you go to the website, RBN website, there is a video I sent over to John Stabmiller with Sean Penn talking about a series he has going with a very young female actress. I can't recall her name, but she played in the movie Truman. She was the girl that Truman was seeking at the end of the movie. And I hadn't seen her in a movie since the Truman Show. But the Me Too movement, they discussed that. And I'd have to agree with Sean Penn. This is the feminist movement on steroids. And it really is dividing men and women. It is causing a lot of problems. It really is, because now, like I said, we all appear to have bullseyes on our heads, and we have to be very careful what we say, what we do, how we look at somebody, and this is not how it should be. Is this a diversion? Is this all a diversion, another one of those diversion stories, to keep our minds focused on something while something much bigger is playing in the background? It could be. It could be. I don't know. Diversion politics, diversion stories to take your mind off of focus of what you should be focused on. It happens all the time. It's a trick that mainstream media uses all the time. It's possible. It's possible this whole thing could be. And after Brett Kavanaugh, whether he gets in or he doesn't get in, they'll move on to somebody else, and then somebody else, and somebody else, and divert our attention away up into the primaries. The midterm elections here coming up in November. That's going to be interesting. It's going to be very interesting, the midterms. That's all I got to say. The system is not fixed. It is still very flawed. The election system is still very flawed. And I'm very disappointed that Donald Trump did not fix this. Actually, he thought that he would lose the presidential election due to fraud, voter fraud, election fraud. He did not. It turns out they didn't tweak the system enough. Good effort by Hillary, but it didn't work. He ended up winning the race. But right after that, he should have known, as he said, they can manipulate and change the outcomes of elections. So therefore, we need to have a committee get together. We actually need to dismantle this thing and fix it, make it fair and square. Both parties have benefited from this fraudulent election system we still have in place, and nobody seems to care about fixing it. The Democrats are saying that the Russians are going to hack the midterms again. Really? Well, if that's true, then why aren't they pushing to fix the election fraud system they have in place? Well, they can complain all you want about it. You can have a great excuse if you don't win. But if you really want it to be fair and square, which they don't, because that would probably mean a Republican win for both houses. And that's how I see it to happen. That's what would happen, and they don't want it. They like the fraudulent system in place. It's a good excuse. They can say it was hacked, it was changed, this and this, and they don't want to fix it. Both parties have benefited from this fraudulent system. You know, if they can have an ATM, Diebold can build an ATM and tell you how much money you have in your account, transaction, what you did, the time, the date, everything you want to know, right there, spit it out on a piece of paper, you put it in your wallet, Why can't they do the same thing for the election system? They can. It can all be done. And the system is allowed to stay in place because fraudulent voting, election fraud, I guess, has to stay. So the system is flawed and broken. I don't see myself voting anymore. I really don't. I'm not gonna waste my time. I believe in a fair system, but I'm not. I'm just so turned off on the fraud system itself to understand that my vote would only be a fraction of a vote under this fraction magic software that they have in place. And it doesn't even happen right there at the voting center. It's built in the machine in the warehouse. They break the tab, they put the software in, deliver the voting machine to the precinct. You vote, it's all done right there. In your face, your vote means nothing. We'll be right back to finish up last 10 minutes. This is the National Intel Report.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
And we are back. That's a great song, isn't it? Well, thank you for allowing me to be here today, John. I appreciate it. I got a lot off my chest. I feel a little bit better. I don't have to be on any medication or anything. I'll still have my little evening drink to relax, which is good. But thanks for letting me be here. We'll finish up a little bit of California politics, a little corruption in your face. I'm so glad I left the state. I'm trying to get people to leave there. I'm trying to get Ron McDonald to leave there. And by the way, I haven't talked to him in a while. I think he's doing all right. I don't know for a fact how Ron's doing. He's been kind of quiet. He called me about 2 weeks ago. I've left many messages, and he finally returned one call back and sounded pretty good. So I'm hoping soon he'll come back to the mic here and bring his knowledge base back to the network. He's such a sharp guy, nice guy. What a great guy. I miss him. I miss about California. I miss the wineries. I miss the smell of fermentation, which is going on right now in California, Northern California. I used to make a lot of wine, so my garage smelled beautiful. Really did. And then I miss Ron, and I miss the music on the green, and I miss the music at the Ronnie Strong Vineyards. A lot of concerts on the green there, a lot of fun. But California politics, Gavin Newsom, coming from a billionaire dynasty family in California, wants to be the next governor. And he has promised, get this, he has promised free health care to all illegal immigrants. Now, if he wins, and I think he will win, I think he will, by hook or crook, he's going to win this election. You are going to find out, California, the citizens, you're going to find out how many illegals are in your state. They're going to come out. They're going to get their benefits. They're going to get everything they want. They've been promised. And you're going to find out the true number. Now, we've heard this phony number of 12 million illegals in this country. I'm going to say there's at least 6 to 7 in the state of California, million. So the other 49 remaining states, your 12 or 12 and a half million illegals is such a bogus lowball number. It's amazing. I predict if there's ever an amnesty, I hope not, but if there is an amnesty, you're going to see ballpark 33 to 37 million illegals in this country. If there's an amnesty, you're going to find out how many people are really here illegal. And California, I tell you what, I am just happy I left because they are in deep doo-doo, looking for more revenue everywhere they can. Roads then weren't toll roads are now going to be toll roads. Taxes are going up on your automobile for your DMV. They are hurting. They're hurting bad. Thanks again. I will see you behind the mic here on Sunday on my show, Off the Beaten Path, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Health, happiness, and safe travels. We will talk again. Good night.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extend-
spend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.